It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Tom's favorite place to go eat.
Oh, hell yeah. I was there. I had breakfast there this morning, man. What you talking about?
I'm sure.
Yeah. So. Wide-eyed bushy-tailed. It was about 23 of us.
Yep.
We left the battleship at our flag lowering for our Vietnam veterans. Mm-hmm. And everybody tiptoed over to Big Ed's, and we just had a big old breakfast and had a good big old time. We had a blast.
Yep, good deal.
Great veterans, and they took good care of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I saw that on the news this morning about the Vietnam veterans, and they were lowering the flag today for them.
Right.
But
you put the flag at half mast. You know, yeah. It's it's been 50 years or so.
Yeah.
And we had, messed me up with the amount of veterans we had there. Exactly. From Mobile,
right?
You know, the
right.
Vietnam veterans and all that's there.
About it, and then that all happened in the '60s and early '70s,
right?
And,
right.
You know, that's been 50 years ago, and
well, you know, and I actually,
so most of those guys are 70-ish. Yeah,
aren't we though?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I went in '56. I got out of active duty in '59, but I still mm-hmm. was 3 years in the reserve.
Right.
And I actually got called up in '62 to go back in service active because I had a top secret clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to report to Pinto Island to the unit over there.
Yeah.
And they said, be here tomorrow. I said, what? Yeah. I said, yeah, we need you. We're shipping you out. I said, well, wait a minute. You know what?
I ain't ready to go.
I said,
yet.
No. I said, if I got to go, I'm going to have to go. But I said, I got a wife and kid. Oh, you're married? I said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And you got a kid? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You lucky sucker. Get the hell out of here. I said, what does that mean? He said, you ain't got to go.
Right, right.
Thank you, Lord. I said, don't let that door hit me. I'll not get off the hinges.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Hell no. Color me gone.
Yep.
But, you know, that being said, I didn't go to NOM.
Right.
But I was in service during the Vietnam era, as mm-hmm. they call it, you know.
Yeah.
But even though in the '50s when I was there, we had Marines even then, and we had a lot of Green Berets and Special Forces and all already in NOM.
Right.
You know,
right.
back then, but it wasn't public. You know, Republic didn't know about it.
Right. Right.
But, you know, we had all those troops scattered over there all at the same time. So.
Yep. Absolutely. Anyway, let's see. I guess we need to try and get some people to call in, work on some cars.
Let's fix some cars.
See, try and fix cars today.
Yeah.
But might have Nick calling in. Might have some other callers. You never know.
If so. And buts and what have you, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So
yep. Get a big dose of them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I tell you, just the saga with the computer chips it just keeps on.
Where are we at with all that?
You know, they had a. They had a fire. I think it was last week.
What?
In the chip factory over in. I can't remember where it was in China or somewhere, and it was going to set it back almost a month.
You know, you got to be kidding! We already have a delay.
Already delayed. Our lot's been fairly thin. You know, we got a few trucks out there, and we got a few cars in that, but the used car side's pretty well stocked up. But we got a. An 18 model, or had one. I hadn't checked the last couple of days. It may be gone already, but it had an 18 model that had 700 miles on it.
So, say what?
Yeah, wow. It was traded in.
Truck or a car?
Yeah, truck.
800 miles? It hadn't been what?
Hadn't been driven. I don't know how you do that in 2 or 3 years, but
it must have been in a garage on jack stands or something.
I think that's what it was done with it. But you know, they just I don't know. They bought it and must not have needed it.
Had it already been sold?
Well, I don't know. I didn't check on that today, but I drove it just a little bit last week, but it nice truck. Nice and brand new.
I can imagine. So, yeah. I can imagine, yeah.
Brand new. So, yeah, they got some nice inventory over there, but I drove by the Ford place today. Of course, you know, got to come down.
You got
there.
To go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, work. They're in the same boat. Yeah, they've got a few trucks.
Well, yeah, it's all the plants.
And,
it's all the plants. You
and,
know,
Dodge is the same way. I mean, they're all in the same boat.
Well, none of them have totally recovered, and they probably won't until sometime next year from the pandemic, the COVID deal where they had to shut all those down. And we have to realize that when we shut that production plant down, then we have to shut off buying all of the parts and pieces that make all of that equipment. So in turn, we wind up shutting down plants. You know, you could close one car or truck plant, and you might close 300 private businesses that are producing parts, pieces, and what have you. So, I mean, you shut down the plant, and you shut maybe, okay, you put 2,000 people or 2,500 people on layoff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might put 25,000 people out of band work that were producing all the parts and pieces, you know? Come on.
Well, you know, and I hope all the manufacturers have taken this lesson to heart, and maybe they'll start bringing some more of that stuff in-house to control themselves.
I would hope so.
Or get a better handle on how to control it.
You know, let me lengthen that phase of our discussion there a little bit. We're talking about the plant. Then we talk about the suppliers that are making those components. Well, what about the manufacturing process, whether it be plastics or whether it be a rubber item or what? What about those other hundreds of facilities that are producing the raw products
that
they can ship to the processors that produce the small parts can ship from there to the plant? I mean, you could be talking about 40,000-50,000 damn people. If you follow that food chain all the way back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, well, the same thing is happening now with Biden. Look at it. He's shutting down the Keystone, and that's just, what, 6,000 or 8,000 people there?
Yeah.
Or 10?
Just, yeah.
Well, what about the damn 250-300 in Mobile that worked at the Berg Pipe Company here?
Yeah, that are
was producing the pipe for the Keystone.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're closed.
Yep.
Okay. So what about they're using raw steel.
Yeah.
So then how far back up to that food chain do we go where they're producing the steel, then they've got to produce the products to make the steel, then they got to haul it. I mean, come on.
Well, and then you've got, you know, the pipeline has to be maintained for its life. Right. You know, the people that are putting the products in the pipeline, you don't cost them their jobs.
Right.
You know, it just rolls downhill. I mean.
Well, it's funny how they do that, and they close the pipeline. I know this damn stuff's political, and I really don't want to get into it because I'm going to get pissed off. I know that with my own self just talking about it. But so you take it out of the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have to have that oil. How do we get the oil here without the pipeline? We have to use trains?
Trains
we
or
have
trucks.
To use trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of footprint are we talking about there that we're making with the burning of all these carbohydrates and all this fuel in this product that we're doing? Oh, and yeah, we put some people to work there, but look at the footprint that we're making.
Right.
By moving it from a pipeline that can pass thousands and thousands of gallons an hour.
Safely.
Come on.
Well, and you put it on the road where there's going to be accidents.
Sure it is. You know, the percentages are just there.
Right. It's going to happen. I mean, the first snowstorm you get, you're going to have, you know, 100 cars pile up somewhere.
Right.
And guess what? There's a bunch of trucks in the middle of that, too.
Yes. Yeah,
trains derail. There's, I mean, just all kind of stuff.
Yeah,
know,
then they derail and they put all of that loose oil out in, you know, into a creek bed or something which runs alongside the damn railroad track.
Right.
You know, so.
I don't know. It's to me, the pipeline makes perfect sense. You know, I understand that they're trying to do away with fossil fuels.
Well, wait
we,
a minute.
We ain't to that point yet.
Okay, so we're getting rid of the fossil fuels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell are we going to make electricity to run all these damn electric cars and trucks?
Hmm.
You know.
That's a good question. Yeah.
What are we going to use, man? We can't use coal. They don't want us to use bulk oil or whatever.
I saw something the other day, and it was a real picture. It was a generator for a charging station for electric vehicles that was powered by a diesel generator.
That's it.
It makes sense,
whole,
doesn't it?
That is the whole damn scenario. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So everybody's going to have generators,
right.
Then we're running off of gas to charge their electric cars.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Wow,
we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Oh, if we keep them.
Too young to quit, too old to change. Baby, what am I going to do? Chop-top slam down 49 Mercury Blues.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, we talked about electric cars and all that kind of stuff, and they're coming. I mean, I can drag my feet all I want to, but it's still going to happen.
Right.
But,
so true. Yeah,
and we were just talking off air about anybody that's listened to this show for any number of years, has heard us talk about road tax,
and
they're going to have to tax electric vehicles,
because
right now they're not paying that,
right?
We're fighting the whole deal right now, even with trying to build a bridge over the river here, not because of electric vehicles, but just the money to build the bridge and maintain the roads,
right.
If they put all electric vehicles out there and no one's paying taxes on their gas,
mm-hmm.
which is where all those road taxes are paid now.
Yeah, how are they going to build these roads? And build
how are they going to maintain them?
Right.
Much less build new ones. Yeah.
But did Philip just tell us that he just heard it on the news?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just say that there? I heard Biden talking about it the other day.
It's on the agenda. Yeah.
Road use tax.
Right.
It is on their agenda right now. And honestly, that's the fair way to do it. If they'll do everybody the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tax my gas, then tax for the mileage.
Don't tax me at the damn service station or the gas pumps,
right.
And then turn around and charge me so much mileage on the highway,
Yeah.
I don't mind paying for what I use.
Yeah.
As long as everybody pays the same, but don't tax me twice. We're getting enough. We're taxed 19 times on everything,
Mm-hmm.
Golly.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't been in business, you won't understand that. But, Kevin and I both sitting here, we've both been owned our own businesses, and we ran businesses, and we ran other people's businesses. We've been independent operators and all.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what it takes to pay the taxes weekly, monthly, quarterly, et cetera.
The one that always just irritated me to no end was the personal property tax on your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is all stuff that I bought and paid tax on when I
mm-hmm.
bought it.
Oh, yeah, been
and
there.
Put it in my shop.
Right.
Okay. But then, as long as I have it in my shop, I got to pay tax on it
every year.
Even
if it's a $3 chair that you bought at the salvage place.
Right. If it's in that building, you're going to pay tax on it.
You're going to pay taxes.
And I just never
every year
that one. Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
I mean, looks like if you buy something, you pay taxes on it one time.
Well, you can depreciate it, but once it's done, you might as well get rid of it. You better get rid of it. Yeah,
that's our country.
That's just them looking for a way to get in your
and
pocket.
And then you might as well get ready because we're fixing to get some more taxes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's coming.
These damn giveaways and these freebies and stimulus programs and stipends that we've been receiving and mm-hmm. seeing out there, and everybody's getting and everybody's spending $2 trillion. We borrowed that money, country did, so we're going to pay taxes on it. So by the time we get ready to pay it, it's going to be $3 trillion.
Yeah.
Property taxes, $500 or $600.
Well, yeah. It's all about taxes and then our glorious people that are in charge of our fabulous country now are doing everything in the world to destroy it and tax it and tax us to death with it and change all the rules and regulations so that, you know, that we have a problem with, you know, even trying to exist because it here we go again. We're back to sending stuff out of our country to build it because it's going to be so much cheaper to build it, you know. They've taken his tariffs off. Here, I'm in damn politics. Ooh, shut up, Claxton. Shut up. You're already mad. Damn it to hell.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? You know, a lifetime. At my age, a lifetime sentence don't mean crap. No way. I might not last but 2 weeks or a year. So what the hell? It won't be no 40 years.
Yeah.
So I guess I can afford to bitch and moan a little bit. Put my ass in jail, see if I care.
Yeah. Well, at this point, it's, you know, three meals and a cot.
Three hots and a cot. Yeah. If they give me my own TV now.
Hey, it might be all right.
Yeah.
It might be all right.
All right, yeah. Oh, well, hell, I could probably scoff one of those up or, you know, get somebody to get me some cigarettes or something, some outside
That's
or
right.
some weed or something I can trade for one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple of burner phones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Brought in or bring them in with a helicopter or, you know, one of those little planes that, you know.
Right.
Come on, Claxton, you don't need to be talking about all that crap.
Yep.
Because if they take my guns, I'm either going to be going to jail or I'm going to freaking cemetery, one or the other.
Yeah. Let's see. We do have a couple text messages here. Uh-oh, we got a caller in this.
Do it.
Caller, you on there?
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Doing good. How are you?
Appreciate y'all. Good, thanks. Quick question about conventional motor oil.
Mm-hmm.
If you're switching from conventional to synthetic blend, is there anything special you have to do? And what's your opinion of synthetic blend motor oil since I can hardly find conventional anymore?
That's the truth.
Yeah, that's about the way it's gone. I have no problem, you know, with switching. You know, everything that we're doing nowadays is pretty much synthetic, full synthetic. You know, a synthetic blend is fine. You know, we're running, depending on what which motor we're running in our race car, even we're running a full synthetic in it in our crate motor, but you know, our built motor, we run a heavier weight conventional oil than it, but you know, it really nothing you have to do other than just drain it well and change filter and, you know, do a good oil change on it and fill it back up with the synthetic blend and you're fine.
All that being said, as long as you don't have any known leaks now.
Mm-hmm.
My experience has been if you do have known leaks on around in and around your motor and all,
right,
it's going to get worse with the synthetics.
And it can. The motors nowadays, the modern motors, they are sealed up way better than what they used to be.
Right.
You know, small block Chevrolet back in the day, it was going to have a valve cover leak.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the rear main seal is going to start seeping. So
yes.
Just was going to happen.
The front timing cover seal.
And the Ford, the Chrysler's, and all of them, they were all in the same boat, you know.
Yeah.
But they've all corrected those issues to where we almost don't have
just,
oil leaks anymore.
Just look for it. Yeah. If you don't have any oil leaks, then move on. I love it. I'm a very staunch advocate for synthetic oil.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't go crazy with how many miles you try and put on the oil change.
Oh, hell. Run it 100,000 and then change it.
Well, I've been going 6 months, maybe 4,000 miles.
You okay.
Hold up better.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
That's about where I'm at with mine. I'm running the synthetics in my town car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm about every 6 months, but I don't put that many miles on there, you know.
Right.
5,000 miles. So I'm happy with that.
Yep.
But a lot of that is road miles because I like to get on the road and drive over around Florida and Mississippi and all those places, you know.
Yep.
Have you had a vehicle you don't drive much, maybe change it once a year?
Well, at least once a year you need to change the oil in your car, regardless of how many miles you put on it or how few miles you put on it, you know. I personally change oil in mine every 3,000, but, you know, I'm okay with going 5. If you run in full synthetic oil, so, you know,
Well, I'm running synthetic blend, not synthetic.
Right, right. So I'd still stay somewhere around 3,000-mile range, you know. But at least once a year, if you're not putting that many miles on it, yeah, you know, you do need to change oil on it.
Okay, Kevin.
Okay.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks.
All right, thanks for calling in. But we do have another call line. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I think so.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Oh, I recognize that voice.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Think so?
I think so.
Yep. Oh. Just caught it. I wasn't listening.
Hey, is it okay to change your oil every week if you put 3,000 miles on it?
You can.
Knowing you, you probably need to. The only guy I know of had 600,000 miles on a little car.
Yep.
Well, hey, it worked.
Yeah. Well, it worked, didn't it, buddy? Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, full synthetic is the only way I went.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Where the hell are you at, Kim?
Just take a guess.
I don't know. Last time we talked to you, I think you were going to go to Ohio or someplace.
Well, it's supposed to snow Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Hell.
It's north.
Yeah, keep it. Much, you so. Keep it. We don't need it, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about 2 inches Wednesday here.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. More power to you.
Yeah. The high is going to be about 31 degrees.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. So you must be somewhere in Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah.
Ohio.
Yeah.
Lake Erie, y'all.
Well, let me tell you, ask you something. What are you painting? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm painting trucks.
Painting trucks.
Yep.
Painting trucks, yeah. Now, I was supposed to be painting an SUV, a Lincoln SUV, but it got yanked from the United States and sent to Mexico.
Must have something to do to our glorious new regime.
Yep. Whenever you open the doors and say, y'all come, and y'all can do what you want to do, then, you know, the incentives are there.
I guess he pulled the tariffs and all on doing that and shipping the parts down there and then bringing them back finished.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, we don't. So, I'm already throwing a damn tangent here. I got to get off of that. So we're going to have to take this break and get a word from our sponsors. But we'll be just back in a few minutes. So I want to hear about the type of paint that you're spraying up there.
All right.
You can do that? How long
it's
are we out there?
New, yeah.
Yeah. Did I hear you say something about Emron? I thought that was out of style now.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's just I just compared it to Emron.
Oh, okay.
It's a NASA paint. It's an
aero. Oh my God! There rocket. You go. We got to put a rocket ship on a damn truck. Okay. All right, we'll be back.
All right, Kim, hang on. We'll be back after these messages.
But Charlie's had a good life, and Charlie's got a good.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot
and welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we have got a couple of texts we'll get to here in just a little bit after we get through Mr. Kim Beck, but we also had a call during the break that Joe, Swedish Auto Tech, I know we lost you there, but Swedish Auto Tech down on Highway 90, if you're looking for your Volvo repair, great guys, known them for, 40 years almost.
Oh, yeah. When they worked at the Volvo dealership.
Yeah, and they both worked for Volvo. But their number is 661-6070. And Swedish Auto Tech. But
great guys and do a good job, and you can trust them.
They'll treat you right. Yep. They'll treat you right. But anyway, Kim, you online with us?
Yeah, would they work on Rolls Royces too?
I'm sure they'll work on just about anything. It don't matter.
You got one?
Yeah, I just fixed a Rolls Royce for a guy. I just finished it up.
Oh, yeah?
I went here to Ohio, and the thing won't run right. So you need somebody to work on it.
Yeah. That's kind of an issue with them things, you know. They didn't set
it's just a car. That's all it is.
It's a car.
Yeah, just don't look at the name and raise the hood and go ahead and fix it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I think they multiply the part price by what the car weighs or something. I'm not sure what it is, but, you know.
Hey, I paid $3,000 for a back glass.
Ooh, yeah.
A back glass in the car?
Wow.
Did it have to come from England or what?
No, it comes from California.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Same difference.
You know, they're scared. They're scared they're fixing to fall off in the damn ocean, so they're trying to get all the money they can.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, this new AeroTech paint that we were talking about, this is a, you know, cars are getting to where they're out of this world, so they had to start putting
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had to put out of this world paint on it.
So will it survive reentry or anything?
Yeah.
Or that kind of stuff? Or,
exactly.
Will it go from 15 Gs to 0 Gs without sliding off of the car?
It being harder. Well, actually, it's more pliable. You know, it's actually, you know, it's just like a, you know, a hard tree breaks real easy. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Emron paint was brittle, you know, and it chipped really easy.
Right,
you know,
right.
Good. Well, this paint's more pliable. It expands and contracts and gives when it's supposed to, but yet it's durable too.
Well, that was going to be my question because we were involved with that paint back in the 70s and 80s when we painted my son's 55 Chevrolet with it. And it seemed to be extremely hard paint. But if you hit it just right with a rock or something or a chip, it would chip. It wasn't pliable. It didn't have any elasticity to it. I can't say that word.
Right.
But it didn't have any give to it. It was like a piece of metal on there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a fine piece of crystal. It would just shatter.
It would shatter. So now they've overcome that with this particular paint, though, right?
Right, exactly. Yep.
Is there an exotic way to have to install the paint? I mean, where are we at with that?
Yes. Well, the difference is it's a little bit more sensitive as far as the way you apply it. It has to be a special primer under it, you know, because if you don't put, you know, you take any kind of paint, if you don't put over the right kind of primer, it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, so first of all, you got to put a special primer on it. And then you have to prep it properly before you put the paint on it. So and it's put on with an electrostatic gun.
Uh-oh.
Because it's synthetic, you know, just like you're talking about the oil. You know, it's a synthetic-based oil. You know, the molecules on it, you know, are more.
You said oil, but you mean paint, right?
So it binds together better. Kind of like you put cheese and eggs.
Okay, all right. The cheese and eggs, and then we can mix that.
It's just like anything else. You know, the final product is no better than what you're putting it on. So,
right,
I mean,
it's
all about the, you know, starting from the metal up. If the metal's not prepped right, then the primer's not going to stick. And if the primer's not right, then the paint's not going to stick, or the paint's going to, you know, pull the primer off when it gets hit or whatever.
And our moisture builds under the primer.
Yeah.
And put two and two together. What's Ford going to that's different from the rest of the automotive makers?
Oh, I have
their
no
bodies idea. Are made out of
aluminum.
Aluminium.
Aluminum.
Yeah. Aluminium.
Yeah.
Yeah, aluminium. Yeah, you're right. So it expands and contracts more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, that other Emerald type setup wouldn't work.
Right. You know, they got away with it for a while, but. Now then they've had to come up with a paint that expands and contracts with the aluminum.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like the plastic. I mean, the plastic and rubber front bumpers, you know, and rear bumper covers on these cars. You know, they had to find something that would stay stuck to those things because they, you know, they flex and give and, you know, pop back in shape. But you know, used to the paint would about half come off of them when they did that. But now you don't really see it that much anymore. Yeah.
No, because they use a special primer and a special type of additive to the paint to make it more rubberized.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they've followed suit with the body of the aluminum bodies now.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do the same thing.
Well, the expansion rate of aluminum versus the steel is what, like 2 times?
Yes, it is. 2 times.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You did your homework.
Well, we had the same problem. In the machine shop when we started working on aluminum heads then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the expansion from the heat when we started installing the different kinds of Sterilite seats and our bronze guides and things of that nature, we had to consider that factor. And some of that stuff we would heat to machine it, and some of it we would freeze or chill to machine.
Right.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is some guy's going to buy a Ford Ranger and then go park it out in the sun and hope it turns into an F-150?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, baby. Uh-huh.
Y'all,
I want two of them.
You're eat your Wheaties tonight. But, no, hey, I tell you what, the Ford Raptor, it's got a composite front end.
Uh-huh.
Well, the engineers, they were bolting the front end to the body, to the aluminum body of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And when they put it through the heat bait cycle, it would literally bust the mounting locations
right
off of the body.
Oh, man, come on.
From the composite. So the composite wasn't expanding, but right, the aluminum expanded so much, it was literally busting the composite mounts and breaking the front end.
Right, right.
So they were scratching their heads, what are we going to do? Well, just don't bolt it down until you actually paint it.
Right, right. Or leave them loose. Don't final bolt them until you're done. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
In other words, when you apply it, if they secured everything and you applied the paint, then you run it through a heat process to cure the paint.
Mm-hmm.
The expansion of that was tearing it loose from the bolts where it was secured to the frame.
Exactly.
So okay, but now leaving that loose, running it through your heat cycle, all coming back and then tightening it up, it wasn't a problem, right?
Right. It wasn't a problem because, it returned to its normal shape and state. And now you're talking about 365 degrees.
Right, right.
Okay.
Now, how do are the inner structure and floor pans and all that stuff aluminum on them? I'm asking because I don't have a clue.
No, actually, it's still it's a Martin acidic steel. It's a high-strength steel.
Yeah.
So, the cowl, what we call the cowl, firewall.
Right.
It's actually not. It's still a steel, and the frame is still a steel.
Right. So how does that react when you? I mean, you're bonding the aluminum panels to the steel structure. How does that handle that?
Well, see, okay, that's a good question. But the adhesive bond hasn't cured yet.
Okay.
When they put these bodies together and then they paint it, that adhesive bond is still pliable. It's still wet. It's not hardened. Like when you put an adhesive together.
Right.
It takes 24 hours for it to cure and set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same way with these. As a matter of fact, they were having trouble with the squeeze out. The adhesive wasn't cured when it went through the heat bake cycle, and the adhesive would redeposit itself and float around in the e-coat and get on the vehicle.
Right, right.
So if that makes sense, so the adhesive's not cured yet, so it will expand and contract with it.
So you're very time sensitive as to when you paint that vehicle. In other words, because too soon and the adhesive's going to run out from under where it's supposed to be, and too long and it's going to crack. So
right, exactly.
How does it have
to be painted within a certain time?
Well, all that being said, now how do they delay that assembly line from production to painting? I mean, what is that process?
Well, after they, it's called bodies in white, whenever they make the body, and then they, when they assemble it, and then it literally goes through a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tunnel about, like, say, 100 yards, and it goes directly into the e-coat vat. But there's some degreasers and everything is cleaned, and, there's only a time span of about an hour that car's being painted.
That unit's
being painted.
Okay, now the E-coat is, for the benefit of people,
electrical deposition primer. You take the body in white, just a bare raw metal, aluminum.
Right.
And they run it through a degreaser, and then they...
Is that a dip or just a spray?
No, it's a dip.
Okay.
They dip it.
Mm-hmm.
And they spray it. They dip it and then they rinse it off. They dip it and then rinse it off. It's several different chemicals that they have. I won't get into all of them.
No, we don't. We're just over our head.
Yeah. Well, mine too. but it's just an acid etch. Chemical that they do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Bondurite is one of the names of it. Bondurite. And it's an acid etch, actually. It makes it bond.
Yeah.
But then they dip it in E-coat, and it puts a 0.9 mil layer of E-coat on that vehicle, electro deposition. They got like 2,000 ohms of current going through that E-coat.
Right.
And it actually, you know, sticks to the vehicle. And then they, you know, they take it out of the dip.
So you're talking about what we know out here on the street as powder coating.
Yeah. Yep. It's wet powder coat. It's exactly what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I tell you, it's of course, you know, they're you know, trying every day to come up with better and better. So and make the processes to where, you know, it flows quicker and still come up with a quality product at
right,
the end.
Right.
So, you know, I'm all for. Yeah. Yep. I'm all for it.
Yep.
But and that's cool, but we it's something that I'm sure you got coming back with us. Kevin's all right if he comes
yeah.
back.
Yeah, it's all
okay,
good.
We're putting aluminum and attaching it to steel. We need to talk about the galvanic process of what are we doing now to keep that thing from starting to set up some rust factors and what have you, a galvanic charge in there.
Yeah.
So
man,
be prepared. Not now.
Of it tonight.
Not now, but when we come back. Okay.
All right. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Highways our song, and every city's like the same three chords. Been helping us along when the story's told, and the crowd is come and gone, shaking off the miles and trying to make it home.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we still have Kim online. And Kim, I got a text message here. The guy wants to ask you a question. It said, ask the guy if there's any paint that won't let pollen stick to my daggum Jeep. So when I drive off, it just blows away. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah,
well, come on.
And we'll talk.
A damn good question there, Smarty.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or maybe at least some wax that may make that happen.
Yeah.
You know?
What are we gonna do?
But, yep. Well, that's exactly the follow up to what I was gonna say. It's not the paint. It's the wax is a sacrificial coating.
Yeah.
That's what it is with these polyglycoats. And the ceramic waxes that you have now,
mm-hmm.
it actually will fill in the paint is porous.
Right.
So it's not non-permeable. It's actually porous, and you know moisture and thing will actually soak into your paint after a rain or anything. If there's a leaf laying on your vehicle, mm-hmm. and then the sun comes out and dries the water off of it, if you'll take that leaf off, you'll see a discoloration of your paint there.
Right,
and that's where the moisture is soaked into it. So if you take a wax. These polymer waxes, and you fill in those pores,
mm-hmm.
Your bugs, pollen, everything will not stick to it.
Yeah,
you can literally almost just rinse it off.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. What's the best? What's the easiest one to apply that works the best?
The harder is not better. You want a good wax that is it's easy to wipe off.
Okay.
You know, even mm-hmm. in the sunshine, there's some out there. That are really nice. They're actually a water based wax.
Is that what we're looking for?
They're real good.
A water base?
Yeah, they're water based.
Okay.
But yep. it's a real hard, durable. It fills in the pores. It's what we actually use on the you know, when we had the wax when the plant. It's what we do.
Right.
And it actually you know the thing about it is you don't want you know some of these polyglycoats are too hard for the wax. You know, paint has to breathe. To a certain extent, like I say, it's porous.
Okay.
So when you seal it in too hard, it's going to not let it breathe. And it's like that leak, you know, traps moisture and stuff underneath the bottom of it.
All right, look, got a question then. So do we find that the car dealerships that manufacture a particular car, let's say Ford, which we're in their plant, will Ford have the proper polish or whatever that we need to go to? Would General Motors have the proper one that we need to get for our vehicles, or can we go to Leroy's Auto Parts and get something, you know, from them.
Yeah, you're better off to go to now some of your will have one.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I don't know if your dealership has got a special wax or not.
No,
basically,
I mean,
basically you can go to your normal automotive store and buy a good wax.
But we're right. Looking for a water based product, though,
yeah,
right?
Well, I'll just go. Is it okay for me to say the name of it?
Sure.
I don't care. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, it's Presta. Presta. It's Presta product.
Presta. So in other words, your experience with the product has been good.
Yes.
Okay. Well, sure. Well, you know.
No. I'm not saying that's the only one out there, but that's just the one that's a good example.
Well, you're talking about the one that you use and you're satisfied with it, and so that, you know, you got to promote what you like.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I carry it with me on all my demos and stuff at the factories and the plants, you know. So it works for you then.
Is it easy applicable? I mean, is it something you put on with a sponge or a cotton cloth or whatever? What do you do?
You put it on with just a damp sponge.
Damp.
A microfiber towel.
But it's specifically designed for applications of polish.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but you know they're little microfiber pads, you know, that you will put on. You know, a microfiber towel is not for absorption. You know, it doesn't soak up anything. It actually moves. It's like a bunch of little scrapers on your rack. That's why it's good for waxing.
Right.
I got another question. Best being here on the Gulf Coast and around all of these chemical plants and all, what about acid rain? Will it work for that?
Man. Galvanic corrosion, acid rain.
Well, I ain't got back to my galvanic yet. I'm going to load your butt up, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you can tell I've been in about 40 of your damn classes, okay?
Yeah.
So you're the one that taught me all of this stuff, so come on.
Oh, that's right. You were paying attention. I didn't know you were paying that much attention.
Yeah, I did pay attention, but, you know, I was gold certified, okay?
Yeah, okay. No, actually, acid rain is it's an acid. You know, and it will help to some extent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But hey, for all the people that live on the coast, when you wash your car, take you a bucket of water, just clear, clean water, and dump you in a bucket of baking soda.
A what? How much?
A box of baking soda.
A pure box?
A bucket of baking soda. Yeah, a box of baking soda into your bucket. You know, stir it up. Take you some towels, you know, because just washing with it's not enough time. Take you some towels and spread it out over the top of the car, you know, like to do a hood, and then do your roof, and then do your deck lift, and let it sit for about 5-10 minutes. You'll keep it wet, you know, don't let it dry, mm-hmm. and then what it does, it neutralizes the acid rain,
yeah,
and then wash it.
Yeah.
All right, I got it. Okay, I like that idea. But let me run this one by you. Back in the day, when you were washing a vehicle, they said to use a bucket of water and put you 3 or 4 tablespoons full of mineral spirits in there, or kerosene.
Kerosene, yep.
Kerosene. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the day, it was kerosene. And to put that in there, and that it would cut that stuff off of the paint, and it would also keep the joints where water would sit in those little cracks and crevices, and they were rust. Well, it would keep that from rusting.
Yeah, and it's true. Behind your moldings and your little chrome strips and stuff like
right,
that,
right? Yeah,
it would put a little oily residue on it. Mm-hmm. It would repel water.
Hmm.
That's what it's saying. So it repels the water off. You like you put mink oil on your boots, you know, to make it repel the water.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's what you're doing with that
or saddle soap or one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. All right, back to the corrosive thing. Is that all right, Kevin?
Yeah, go ahead.
What about the corrosive deal? With these, how are we going to put this aluminum and steel together? It doesn't have...
All right. To keep it from creating galvanic corrosion.
Right.
Galvanic corrosion, let's first of all start back, you know, is an electrical current that's being induced between two dissimilar metals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, don't do this, but anybody that wants to experience galvanic corrosion, and you've got fillings in your mouth, in your teeth,
yeah,
put that aluminum foil in your mouth and chew on it a little bit.
Uh-oh. No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you've just experienced galvanic corrosion. It creates an electrical current, and it literally shocks you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's doing when you get the two dissimilar metals together, and they sit there, and they're zapping each other, and it actually you know, pulverizes or turns it to a powder, the aluminum.
Right. Okay. So how do we alleviate that?
You keep them away from each other. Right. A little plastic washer, mastic. You know, a little gummy mastic. If you notice, you know, if you ever take the car apart, you know, between the fender and the inner structure, there's a little strip of adhesive. It looks like it's called mastic. You know, it's just kind of like
okay, all right,
just a strip caulk.
It looks like a thin strip of double sided tape.
Yep, exactly. And okay. It keeps the two away from each other.
All right.
And to get technical a bit, the manufacturers use a boat with Dacromet. It's a Dacro coating. It's like a galvanized compatible to aluminum coating they put on the boats.
Right.
To keep it from creating the galvanic. But what's that word again, Tom?
I don't know. You way the hell over my head.
I'm trying to get you to say galvanic corrosion.
Galvanic corrosion. Our engineer had it. So we went. Our engineer had it.
Yeah.
Right.
So people who own cars, they need a little bit of a rundown. They need a little manual on this stuff because, you know, the acid rain that they're exposed to.
You write the book. I'll publish it.
Yep.
You know, everybody likes to tinker with the cars a little bit, you know, and, you know, they take a boat loose and then they don't put the proper protection back on it. It's going to cause it to rust.
Yep,
you
exactly.
The proper kinds of, you know, a lot of people, you know, they complain about the paint's not holding up. What's because they don't take care of the paint properly.
Right, exactly.
I'm
going
to throw it back on the people a little bit. I know paints are, you know, you think, not what it's supposed
all right,
to be.
We got all the information out of you tonight that we want. They're going to cut us off the air.
Yep. Okay. All right, Kim, I appreciate you calling in and always have good information, but it sounds like we've run up to the end of the show. But I want to thank
all
everybody
right, well,
for...
Sorry about that.
Go build us some right. cars and trucks, baby.
All right.
All right, catch you on the flip side.
See ya.
All right, brother.